This episode of Spittin' Chiclets is brought to you by Sauce Hockey. We all know that hockey is more than just a game. It's a culture and a way of life. The best players carry that swagger off the ice and are definitely known to have a bit of fun in the process. Sauce Hockey has a full line of apparel that tells the hockey story from every level. Whether you're a savvy veteran that has been around the block or just a beer league beauty, Sauce Hockey has the threads for you. Sauce has the sickest lids around to make your summer flow pop, and they've even got you covered in the polo department. Their t-shirts are softer than puppies' ears and feature fresh designs that will definitely help your off-ice plus-minus, if you catch my drift. You'll also find barbecue sets made of broken twigs and other accessories like their boxes, which are also A+. To make matters even better, the beauties over at Sauce Hockey are giving us an exclusive 30% off with discount code CHICLETS. That's C-H-I-C-L-E-T-S. You heard that right. 30% off with the discount code CHICLETS. Sauce also has the best t-shirt of the month club out there, which sends you an original design from a part of the history of hockey. For only $30 or less than a 24-pack of Molson, you get a piece of hockey history delivered to your door. The club has featured story bonds such as the Saddle Dome in Calgary, the Yale Whale, Shattuck St. Mary's, and recently did a tribute to 1980 Miracle on Ice coach Herb Brooks, which is still available on the website. You can sign up at saucehockey.com. So make sure you head over to saucehockey.com and take advantage of 30% off using the code CHICLETS. That's saucehockey.com, code CHICLETS, C-H-I-C-L-E-T-S. Go get some gear, eh? Welcome to episode 39 of Spittin' Chiclets, brought to you by Barstool Sports.
What up? What up? What How up? Are you?
Trademark, Ryan Whitney. What up? What up? Producer Mikey Grinnelli.
How are you, gentlemen?
And a very special guest, another local lad, plays for the New York Rangers. Welcome to the show, Jimmy Vesey.
Thanks, guys. Thanks
Boys, for having me. Isn't it a pleasure to have this guy in here? Just we have a lot to ask you. First off, though, we have to say, we have to clear the air on Kevin Hayes saying that you completely fucked him over in your living situation.
Doing you dirty last week.
He did you dirty on Spittin' Chiclets. You gotta clear that up.
I don't know. I think it was just a big miscue, but we talked in the summer about living together last year, and then I didn't hear anything about it for literally 3 months. So when I got to New York, I was on my own. But no, I was under the impression that like his dad comes down a lot and stuff, so... You know, I thought he would take the spare bedroom when he came, so I didn't want to interfere on that, but...
Yeah, you don't want to mess with big Kev.
Yeah, Kev literally didn't give me the official invite, so I just took matters into my own hands and lived with Brady Shea last year.
And now he's jealous, and it's all three of these guys in the penthouse, right?
I think it's hilarious that, I couldn't wait to live by myself, and all these guys get out of college, and they all, pack and live together.
Oh, I specifically remembering, being so panicked about having to live with myself and needing to find a roommate every year. I was like, I cannot live by myself. This is horrendous. I just let it, the college, dorm atmosphere. Then finally, you get a little older, you're like, all right, I hate this person, or I need to live alone.
Yeah, eventually.
But when you're young, out of school.
Yeah, it's easy. Plus, you're all hanging out together. It's easy to do. So, big first year in the Rangers. It was obviously a huge deal to rehash the whole draft stuff, everything. You know, you didn't go to Nashville, ended up... You were kind of the story of hockey for the summer, and it probably inadvertently so, but that's the way things played out. What was your first year in New York like? Was it everything you expected? Was it a lot of ups and downs? What was your overall rating after your rookie year?
Yeah, no, it was a blast of a year. I mean, I was 23 years old in New York City, and I went to Harvard, so there's a lot of Harvard, big Harvard connection down there. I got to hang out with some of my buddies outside of
Riggsy,
hockey. But yeah, as a rookie, I mean,
what's
it's
he looking?
it's a lot of ups and downs. You know, I obviously had a big start to the year, and then middle of the year was kind of up and down, you could say. But I thought I finished strong in the playoffs, especially, and I think I'm going to try to ride that momentum, I guess, into this season.
Did you hit what is commonly referred to as the wall? I mean, it's almost like a cliche in hockey. A rookie starts off great, and then he just hits the wall. Is that basically what happened to you? You're just kind of playing so much, your body's not used to it. Just the schedule, does it just catch up to you?
I think yes and no. I think the wall. I mean, everyone wanted to talk about that to me.
All they do is bring it up.
Yeah. And we're not talking Pink Floyd either.
Coming out of college, you're just like every single person. They're like, oh, wait till you play. You're like, all right, well, what am I going to do?
Yeah, and then like every single reporter asks you about it, and I mean, yeah, to some extent, I think the biggest hurdle for me was, you know, with so many games, the mental aspect. I mean, I know Whit probably could talk about this. Just your confidence has to be high at all times, otherwise, you know, when you have no confidence, you suck pretty much. And
just like with chicks.
You know,
true.
I know. Just I never suck. Sorry, guys.
But yeah, it was up and down in the middle of the year, and I don't think it was a physical thing, so to speak. You know, I thought I came back strong, like I said, in the playoffs. But you know, sometimes mentally it takes a toll on you.
I think that like it's crazy. Like for me, looking back, you could get on the ice and within 10 seconds of handling a puck in warmups, be like, fuck, I got it tonight. Your legs feel good. You know, your hands feel good. And then there's other times you get on the ice, your legs feel so heavy, your hands suck, and you're like, oh boy, this is going to be a complete grind. And I just remember, like, the best players, you know, they felt like that certain nights, but they would end up just grinding through it and, like, playing a different game. So the first year, it's so tough because you don't know, like, you don't really know what to expect in certain buildings. Like, did you ever get on the road and be like, holy fuck, like, I'm kind of in one tonight. This place is intense. I'm not ready to play.
I think our first long road trip was the Western Canada one in November. And we also had a rookie party on that trip. So
double whammy.
So then I think we had a back-to-back too. And those two games, I was like, kind of like, holy shit.
You're like, this is not for me right now.
Yeah. But no, I've said to people before, it was crazy how like one week you can be so on top of the world, and then you have one bad shift or one bad game, and then you're like in the dumps. But I don't know. I think it's just a process. You got to learn to keep that even keel.
Yeah. And like, I just, you know, I always remember like, The most truest line is like, you're never as good as you think and you're never as bad as you think, because there's times when you're like, oh, you know, but there's still stuff you're fucking up. And then when you're low, you're like, I can't do anything right, but you are still doing things right. So I didn't know, like with Vigneault, like, were you, would he like, would he give it to you? Would he give you tough love? Would he be nice to you? Like, how was that player coach relationship?
I don't know. I think it was, it's obviously a little different than college. I mean, I think, you know, college, you know, coaches can be like buddy-buddy, where I think in pro, you know, you don't really have
he's
the same
boss. He's,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, no, everyone always says, you know, he doesn't like rookies, but I mean, I think he actually, you know, did like me this year. He played me a lot in a lot of, situations, and, you know, I obviously started off hot and then kind of had that lull in the middle of the year, but I think, you know, everything I got, I deserved. And, you know, he was good to me all year. And, you know, I was a rookie, never played in the NHL. And he, you know, had faith in me right away. So, you know, I couldn't ask for much more.
What do you think you need to improve on next year, that after this year? You're like, okay, I got to be better at this to keep doing this.
Yeah, that's a good question, because I feel like, you know, right when the season ends, right? Like,
yeah. To me, I think I've been working in the summer, obviously, on getting stronger. You know, just in front of the net and stuff is pretty crazy how strong guys are. And you know, if you're in the corner and then you pass it back to the point and you got to get to the net, just the way defensemen box out and stuff is insane. And then, you know, I'd really like to work on my puck protection, not getting knocked off the puck. And I think, you know, possession, especially beneath the dots, is becoming a huge part of the game. So, you know, I think I've been trying to work on that as well.
It's so true now. Like, you watch guys, like, and you know, you bring up Crosby because he's the best at it. But if you can just create like 4 seconds for yourself, even less, just like time to get a little room space and to find somebody open. And now you see so many times it's the D-man right through the seam.
Yeah.
But when you get it, and you know, you don't feel strong enough, and guys are pushing you off easier. It's like the play never keeps going through you. So that's something that's great. But I like always wonder, like, when you like train now, are you training every day like with a purpose? Are you working, like, I know you're with all the same guys with Brian McDonough, but like, are you working on like basically as much strength as you are, staying flexible and making sure you're not going to get hurt? Like, he's pretty good with that stuff, or are you mainly just weights and strength right now?
I think the flexibility and injury prevention stuff is huge these days. But yeah, I think mostly just working on leg and core strength and stuff like that. And then I think you can look at training kind of as two pronged, like in the weight room, and then the skill stuff you do on the ice. So it's kind of hard to simulate puck protection in the summer, but
I could see you we're in your apartment, like
in the bar, make sure no one gets crazy.
Hold on, I'm gonna try to box me out here, man.
No, but yeah, we get the summer league actually on Wednesday nights tonight. But yeah, I guess that's a good outlet to try to work on stuff or try new things. So
who's the best player you've seen in that league so far? Who dominates down there the most?
I'm trying to
think. Is it you?
I'm trying to think.
I heard you talk a lot down there.
No, I do like shinny hockey a lot, but we get Eichel on our team. He's obviously, his skating ability is good in that wide open hockey. But there's a lot of different guys that you might not think, like Brock Little.
Yeah, dude, lights up Sweden, this kid.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
So he played at Cushing Academy with my brother.
Yeah.
And then he Yale.
Yale, yeah.
This kid went to Yale, smaller player, but really, really skilled. And he's been in Sweden now for, I want to say, 4 or 5 years. I'm kind of guessing there, but he just lights up the league every year. So, in summers, you're probably like, holy fuck. It's just how does this guy not play in the NHL when you see this league?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you hear the first year in the league, obviously, trapped a lot? Is half the time you get trapped at in the NHL, do they trap you about that? Like being a smart ass or something like that? Basically, the Charlestown Assaulting guy wouldn't Goodwill Hunt yelling at you.
I don't know. I think I got it a couple times. I think I was, one time I was complaining to a referee and someone on the other team was like, "You're a smart kid. You went to Harvard. You can figure it out." And then,
chirping.
And then actually, we played Ottawa in December. I actually got into my first fight.
Who was it with?
Mark Stone.
Oh.
Pretty uneventful fight, but.
That's how they should all be, hopefully.
But no, I think it kind of happened. I think I was pissed off because there was a scrum in front of the benches at one point. And I was locked up with someone, but someone from the bench was saying, "Yeah, this is an NCAA. You might get hurt out here. You can fight out here." And I was like,
"You're like, dude, shut up."
Yeah.
It's not the NCAA. No shit.
You start talking China. What do you speak? Is it Mandarin?
Yeah. I need to bring this up. You do speak Mandarin. Set the record straight.
I'll set the record straight. I did study it for 6 years. 4 in high school, 2 in college, but I haven't done anything with it in 3 years. So,
would you understand if we went where do they speak Mandarin, fellas?
China. Most of China. It's a dialect.
Chinese isn't a language.
There's Sichuan and then there's Mandarin, correct?
I don't know. There's a lot of different dialects.
So wait, if I say somebody's speaking Chinese, is that a language?
Yeah.
Okay. So Mandarin is different. Why did you ever start studying that?
I don't know. It's kind of weird. I didn't really think about possibly hockey being a career. So I was always really into school, and I went to Belmont Hill through my junior year. And I had a teacher in middle school actually that said, if you ever get the opportunity to study this, you should, with business and all this stuff.
Guess so, it's not that bad of an idea.
Especially the way the world's going now, there's so much business.
China's going to own the world someday.
I kind of just dove into it, and then I took 4 years in high school, and then when I went to college, you have to take a foreign language, so I just went back to the beginning. So I had
you just dummy those classes.
Oh yeah, it was a cakewalk. So
have you landed in Shanghai today? Could you handle yourself walking around China?
Yeah, I think I could. I could have the basics down.
Wow, that's like.
Could you say something to us right now?
I'm on Spittin' Chiclets. Go Rangers.
I don't know. I'm a little rusty. I'm not gonna say it.
Was it Van Kierkegaard or Dick Van Dyke who said if you
ring ring speaking Chiclets?
No, remember? Oh, I was gonna say we should have him do it, and then we could put the subtitles on Wayne's World. Remember Wayne's World was speaking English. Hopefully, you guys seen Wayne's World. Ask a millennial.
I have.
I'm on board.
Have you seen Wayne's World? Are you familiar?
No way.
No.
No chance. I think he's out of it though. But I know Wayne's World. That's a fucking movie.
It's definitely a classic.
I wanted to go back into you saying that you didn't really. ever consider or plan on being in the NHL? Like, when did that start coming a reality? And then was it tough leaving Belmont Hill? Because for people who don't know, Belmont Hill is a really good prep school hill. You play in the ISL high school hockey. And then for your senior year, I know you left school to play like junior hockey, right? Was right. that kind of when you started thinking NHL or not even then?
So, I mean, to be honest, I was really good as a kid. And then I kind of, you know, didn't grow or anything like that. So I kind of went towards the middle of the pack. You know, at the beginning of high school, but, yeah, I never really took hockey. I mean, I always loved hockey, but I didn't start training or anything till going into that senior year. But, my sophomore year at Belmont Hill, I had a good year. And then going into junior year, it was my draft year. And I was actually like 85th on Central Scouting.
Going into your junior year?
Cause I repeated a year.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I was like 85th on Central Scouting. And I was like,
it's not bad.
Shit. I might, number one, I might get drafted. Number two, I might have to go to the combine.
You're like, oh, dope. Shit. I can't do one pull-up.
But I ended up having an average season. Went way down the rankings, didn't get drafted. Kind of bitter about that. And then I was kind of like, all right, I'm going to take this serious. Kind of needed a change of scenery. And I went to the Kings for my senior year. Worked out with Brian McDonough that summer. And, you know, I wasn't even really thinking about getting drafted that year. I was thinking of kind of just getting myself ready for college, but,
you already committed to Harvard at the time?
Yeah. Oh, so, okay. So I committed to Harvard before my junior season, kind of as like, you know, I don't know what this is going to be, but I figure I'll, you know,
get a good degree. Out
exactly.
Of
it. So yeah, I guess going into that senior year and then after that year, you know, getting drafted, then I was like,
maybe.
Okay, this might be something.
So I heard a lot about your younger brother growing up, because I know you, local Mass kid, we, you know, played in the same, you know, area growing up, and I heard your little brother was like a prodigy growing up, and then I didn't hear much about you until...
Suck on that one.
Until it was like you said, like your senior year, junior year, your junior year, kind of around there. So what was it like, you know, with playing with your brother growing up, and now he's at UMaine. So, like, what's it like playing with him, and have you played with him, played against him at all?
He was nasty.
So
he was a prodigy.
Growing up, we were on the 93 Middlesex Islanders, and he's a 95, and my dad was the coach. So my dad was like, I'll just put him on the 93s. But he was like
2 years up.
Yeah, but he was like bigger than a lot of kids on the team and an absolute animal. So, yeah, he was... I mean, he wasn't out of place at all, but yeah, I don't know. What was the question?
I didn't really give you a good question there, but essentially, how good do you think your brother can be?
I think he you know, has a lot of potential. He's working out with us right now in Foxborough, and he's actually been really dedicated this summer. You know, he's been watching what he eats like a crazy person, and he actually...
That's not fun.
Yeah, but no, he's in... he's actually in great shape right now, and, you know, I'm hoping that he has a big year at Maine, and then, you know, everything falls into place.
Now go ahead. You said your dad coached you at that particular team. Now, didn't he coach, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't he coach you, you, Grizzy, Brendan Collier, and was...
And maybe, where does dad play? Because I actually know your dad was an amazing player, but
I'm saying, when you guys were like 5 and 6 years old, wasn't he already like, he knew you guys were skilled. Wasn't he almost already teach you like how to be a pro at that young age? Just like how to do things the right way. Is that true? I mean, I know all kinds of rumors and gossip, but basically, wasn't he preparing you guys almost to be a
pro
at such a young age?
Yeah, no, we actually had a good team for the Islanders. We had, like you said, myself, Grizzy, Brendan, and then we also had... you know, my brother was on the team who got drafted, and then Doyle Summerby was the captain of BU last year. He got drafted. So we had a lot of guys that, you know, went on to play college, get drafted.
Joey Aiden, shout out my homie.
But, yeah, you know, my dad, you know, for thinking back for youth hockey, he was the coach with Mark Fiddler and Brian Gustin. And, you know, they were super intense, but, you know, obviously it helped us in the long run, just... you know, taking the game serious and stuff like that.
Yeah, didn't they basically say, like, leave your kid outside the locker room and screw him? Essentially, good. Like, you know,
that's
like, they, like
awesome,
they should
though.
Do. Yeah, like, basically.
Yeah, we'll parents weren't allowed, stuff like that. And, you know, I remember like just the practices and you know, like they were implementing systems, you know, from a young age and, you know, running power plays and stuff like that. And I think Grizzy's, you know, still, you know, an unbelievable power play defenseman. So I don't know. I think my dad and that coaching staff definitely had a big impact on all of us.
Yeah, it gave you a little bit of a blueprint to work off of.
Right.
So your father played at Merrimack?
Right.
And then
Columbus High School, baby.
And then where is that, Charleston?
North End.
Christopher Columbus High School.
It's now defunct.
It's been condo. It was actually his father because
now a little league.
Hilarious. I watched his dad win the Eastern Mass title at the Old Garden. I didn't go to the whole state final because I actually went to Disney World the week later. Then 1984, Columbus won the whole state, and then within 4 years, they didn't have a team, and then 6 years, there was no more high school. I was the last graduating class there.
So they won. So he was actually playing for that. That was the high school team he was on that won it?
Yeah, he was. That was 1984. They won the whole state. When his father was a fucking machine out there, and he basically, his old man put Merrimack on the map before.
Yeah, I remember that. So where did he play pro?
So he was drafted by St. Louis and then played. He graduated college in 1988 and then retired in 1995, but basically split with St. Louis and Boston. Predominantly in the minors, but 15 games in the NHL.
He actually spent a lot of time in Phoenix too when they had the Phoenix Roadrunners IHL team. I'm telling you, man, go look at his old man's stats.
No, I've actually always heard of his father from the Yandles.
He also has one of the best hockey DB pictures, I think, of all time.
Up right now, this is going on Spit and Chicklets. I got to look this thing up.
Yeah,
like an absolute savage.
He was, I mean, easily a point per game guy, if not a point and a half, and like, you know, and he beat the shit out of you too. I mean, he's, you know, you look at his PIMS back, and that's when the early 90s, man. That's when you had a fight, late 80s, early 90s. If you played in the IHL, man, you had to be a tough son.
The true Iron League. You just had to just chuck them, especially if you were American, too. Honestly.
Oh, back then, man.
Like, it's like, oh, fuck you.
So right, would you say in some ways that, not getting drafted.
he looks like a legit hitman. This is great podcasting.
The turtleneck.
The turtleneck. Holy shit,
dude. Just walking out of...
Fucking mugshot.
Oh, my God. Walking out of Copperfield, smacking people in the mouth.
Incredible. Not getting drafted in 2011, was that probably the best thing that happened? As far as motivating you, like, you know, it pissed you off. So, I mean, in a sense, were you kind of glad it almost happened in hindsight?
Yeah, I think it was a big wake-up call in the sense that I had to work harder and do more if I wanted to take hockey serious. But, yeah, I remember we didn't have anyone over the house. We thought maybe I would get drafted in the late rounds, but, we followed it the whole time, and then I didn't get drafted. And we were all pissed off. So, that was definitely my motivation, I guess, for the next year.
It's like I went and shot pucks right there. So I looking at your hockey DB too earlier. When you got to Harvard, you didn't have tons of success your first 2 years, right? I mean, maybe your second year, but your first year, was it just tough getting used to college hockey? Were you not playing a lot? Like, what was the big jump, basically, from when you, you know, went from freshman sophomore just dominating junior year?
I definitely got bigger, but, you know, I entered Harvard in kind of a time of turmoil for the program.
Really? What was that?
We were just not good.
We weren't the same after Bozo left.
That's a little
left.
BU shit talk right there.
But I think my freshman year we were 12th out of 12th place in the ECAC. It was the first time in school history. Jesus. And then my sophomore year we were 11th out of 12th. So we scored like no goals, like under two a game. No, like probably two a game, but
can't get points like that.
Yeah, and then after that year, I think the whole coaching staff, the players, and the alumni were starting to get, you know, kind of embarrassed. Like, I remember talking to an alumni saying, like, it's embarrassing to go to the Bean Pot these days.
You're never getting a job at a Big Four down Wall Street if you guys don't clean it up.
You're just getting pounded in front of no Harvard fans at the Garden.
But, we kind of just try to change the culture, I guess, of the team and be more accountable. We got more involved in the in the community, not even not only the school community, but the you know, the local community, to try to, you know, get more people to our games. And I mean, we always had the talent, we always had the good recruits, and then my last 2 years it finally came together. And then, you know, if you look at last year, Harvard was in the Frozen Four and
the favorite, really.
Yeah, I've said this before, I don't think they're going anywhere anytime soon. If you look at, you know, the recruits that they're getting, and you know, they're getting like kids that are supposed to be, you know, top 10 picks over the next couple of years. So
and like, you always wondered like, why weren't they better at those times? But you think, like, maybe parents are starting to kind of figure out, like, why wouldn't you go to Harvard? Like, first of all, they're good. It's the best school in the world. And, like, the alumni, like, connection there. Like,
network, yeah.
It's insane. Like, do you, when you were playing there, would you already, like, get into stuff like that? Like, did you ever do anything in the summer for, like, internships? Or were you all hockey in the summer? You know, or are you laughing?
So, I was all hockey, but no, like, especially my last 2 years, like I said, when we started to revamp the program and the alumni got more involved, you know, every guy that wanted an internship in the summer got one from a hockey alum. So like you said, the networking there is incredible. And you know, guys that aren't playing hockey after school, you know, definitely get set up.
You still go to Hong Kong?
So Hong Kong actually isn't really the spot anymore.
Really?
So I guess
Hong, dude, was the spot when my buddies were at Harvard. Cambridge. Yeah, you just go upstairs and get crippled. It was like, it was the best party spot ever. Ask Brendan Byrne. But I don't know, where is the spot now?
So the I guess Hong Kong got really strict on, like, new owners got strict on IDs, and no one really goes there. Like, they don't let underagers in anymore, so no one goes there. But I think the one thing, if I could say one thing about Harvard, what it's missing is a college bar in Harvard Square.
Yeah.
So all the places there are essentially yuppie places.
Yeah, there isn't like any like down to earth, normal, just spot there.
Yeah. Like, I know the, in the movie Good Will Hunting, like that bar was based on one in like the 90s. That was the spot. That's gone. Hong Kong's gone. So
the guys really bust out like 1800 colonial economy bullshit like that.
with ponytails. Yeah, that was, like, that was VZ's left wing his first 2 years.
How do you like them apples? Going back to the draft, obviously, you know, you got motivated not getting drafted in 11. You got third round Nashville the next year. Now, did they have an inkling? Or, I mean, they had to know your plans were to do 4 years at Harvard. So they, you know, they were, I'm assuming, were aware of that. So was that ever a possibility that they thought, you know, you weren't going to be there after 4 years? Did they think what happened last summer was ever going to transpire? Or is that just something that sort of happened organically? Like, you were played a few years and you realized, okay, geez, I could have my pick of the litter after. How did, you know, give us a little insight on that.
Yeah, I think it definitely happened organically, I guess. No, I did, obviously, after 2 years, my stats were, I basically did shit. So, I mean, after 2 years, I wasn't thinking about leaving or anything like that. And then my junior year is when it was statistically my best year. And, you know, they asked me to if I wanted to leave after that year. And I actually thought about it for a while, and I decided I was going to go back. I just didn't want to, you know, walk out on Harvard. I didn't know if I would ever go back and get my degree. And then, you know, senior year was kind of just a clusterfuck, to be honest.
Like, dude, you must.
Couldn't play a game without, or, you know, couldn't go a month without hearing stuff about that stuff. But at the end of the day, yeah, I just, you know, sitting down with my agent, my family, you know, they thought I'd be crazy if I didn't do that. And I mean, a year later, kids are doing it again. But
yeah,
no. But I was the only real asshole.
You broke the asshole seal.
I just think, like, knowing you, it must have sucked, like, last summer. Like, you don't want to be the center of, like, the hockey, unless they're talking about how nasty your season was, to be in the middle of it, having not played yet, and people, like, saying, like, what the fuck, this kid's an asshole. Like, one, you're like, you have no idea what you're talking about, but two, it must have been annoying for you.
Yeah, it was a tough summer. I actually handled it pretty well, I think, until towards the end of the summer. One time I went up to my dad, I was like, this is out of control. Like, I'm going to snap at some point. But
did you?
The best thing was, I obviously got backlash or whatever, but I got traded to Buffalo at the draft. So for the rest of the summer, I was property of Buffalo.
Oh, yeah. And they're like, he's going to sign.
Oh, that's right. They got you right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So just like when it was dying down.
You had Buffalo people start hating you.
Dude, I heard him and Ike were bunk bed buddies in camp 20 years ago. I forgot they made it.
And then the best thing was the first time we played in Buffalo, I'm getting booed.
They didn't even fucking do anything to you guys.
We gave up a third rounder for your rights.
And I remember we're on a face-off and Foligno looked at me and he was like, why are they booing you? I'm like, I have no idea. He's like, I would have done the same fucking thing.
Did you get booed in Boston at all? I know some donkeys here would have probably booed you.
No, I didn't get booed in Boston, but if I did, I definitely think I would have looked up in the stands and there would have been a brawl with my aunts.
Yeah. Hey, but I remember watching the game in Nashville this year. You ended up, did you get empty net goal? Or did you seal it with something or an assist?
No, so before the game, obviously, Hazy did the same thing that I did, not signing with Chicago. So I'm like, before the game, I'm like, Kevin, when you played in Chicago the first time, they boo you? And he's like, no, I don't think you're going to get booed. I'm like, really? Get on the ice for warmups, all kinds of signs lining the glass. Then I didn't even have to touch the puck.
Hey, well, man, at least their team sucked this year.
When I got on the ice, I got booed. And then it went into a shootout.
Yeah, it was a shootout. Fuck.
And so that morning at pregame skate, I literally tried to stay on the ice as long as I could because I knew when I came off, the media was going to be around my stall.
Maybe I can outweigh them.
So I took a million breakaways on Ranta, and the assistant coach happened to be watching, and there was one stretch where I went three in a row and came in and scored all three. So it goes into the shootout and I'm like, I know he's gonna pick me. He picks me first shooter of the shootout. Actually, I don't know, Nashville might have won first, but I go first, and I'm like, I actually probably blacked out, but wasn't that nervous. Came in and scored.
And I was remember
like,
that.
I was like, if I didn't score that, I might have just never played hockey again and went to Wall Street.
It would have been the loudest boo you'll ever hear in your life. The whole place would have been just shitting on you.
I mean, no, but to be honest, I mean, all that stuff is what it is. It's in the past, but I mean, Nashville, obviously,
they did it.
It didn't hurt them.
No.
You know what I mean? They went to the Stanley Cup, whatever.
It was the most normal move ever. I remember tweeting out.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say that too. One of my biggest supporters.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody did anything. Everything was by the book, on the up and up. There was not necessarily anything approaching illegal about it. It was the system,
it was a fucking, it was when you have the chance to have multiple people give you
wiggling their
offers
tits out, yeah.
And you hear all your options. It was totally, totally normal. I just think that it's funny, when you went and you actually did decide on the teams, were you sure of the Rangers? Were you so into it, or was there a part of you I don't know about this other team that likes me? Was it easy enough once you saw New York and talked to Kevin and shit?
Yeah, Hazy said without him, you weren't going at all.
No, I think at a certain point, it's you could have made a case for anybody, but just kind of a gut feeling, obviously. But yeah, I do think, having Kevin there is definitely a part of it. And, we worked out together last summer. I know he said last year, he used to play, he used to, he's the DJ in the gym. So he used to put on every song that had New York in its lyrics.
He's like, all right, this is just going to subtly get to him all workout long.
But, then it was ultimately the Rangers. But, you could have talked about any team until you were blue in the face. But,
yeah.
23 in New York City, though. That's it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, you're living, man. You're living.
Did you even go near social media this cup run? Like, I mean, with the, you know, obviously Nashville getting there. I mean, I can't imagine what people chirped. You know, there's so many people online that just have balls to say whatever. So I can't imagine what they might have even been saying.
Yeah, like one tweet, he's like, "Out golf," and they're just showing him like Nashville box scores and all his replies.
Yeah, like, did you even bother looking, or did you just like ignore it the whole time?
No, to be honest, I definitely learned this year. You want to kind of filter social media as much as you can, but yeah, I definitely wasn't going on in the playoffs.
I meant to ask before, what D-man do you think was the hardest to play in? Like your rookie year, you're like, fuck, that guy was nasty tonight. Like, did anyone stick out to you defensive wise?
I think, you know, we played playoffs against Montreal and Ottawa, so I think you know, in the first round, you know, Weber's obviously a beast, especially like I was talking earlier, in the corners and in front of the net. Like you don't want to go in there.
And it's then, like a big like auction.
And then Carlson was also just gross in the playoffs.
Oh, he was unbelievable, and he was playing on what a messed up foot too.
He was so gross. He was just
yeah, he was insane.
Everyone we've had on has said warm ups at MSG are unbelievable.
Am I right on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously maybe it might have, I don't think it wore off that much, you know. I think the national anthem especially at MSG is sick, and then the playoffs I thought were,
yeah,
our first round series in Montreal I think was like the most fun I've ever had playing hockey, just the Bell Center and then MSG, just
every game's just
insane. And that series actually, like, every time someone touched the puck, there was like a huge hit. It was like, it set, I think it actually set like franchise records for hits in a series and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's one of those series that, you know, obviously early round series, neither team goes to the cup. When you think back, it was like, yeah, that was a hell of a series to watch. And
yeah,
you know,
and they beat the shit out of each other.
The original six factor going back and forth and stuff. Right. It does make for a good series. I know, you know, some guys you don't get to go against them once a year or twice a year with the way the schedule is. But who do you think is the like best dominant player, say under 25? That way we can rule sit out.
Yeah, I know. That way everyone says sit.
Yeah, I think, you know, we only got to play McDavid twice. I don't know if he lit us up, but one was right at the beginning of the year and then one was in the middle. But I mean, even just all the stuff he does, you know, with the puck, that might not even translate into a point, but just blown by defensemen and stuff like that, he's definitely electric to watch. And then obviously I think Matthews had a sick year.
Have you played with him, Matthews? Did you play in the Worlds with him?
No. Never,
so you played
with him.
You played in the Worlds 1 year, didn't you?
The men's Worlds?
Yeah.
Yeah, I played after my junior year in college.
Oh, that was after your junior year?
Yeah.
No And you still didn't turn pro.
Yeah.
That must have been a tough... I know you said that before. That must have been hard, though, because like you were already a little old for your grade, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was a year...
You were 23 when you graduated?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
But, I definitely realized on that trip that being in college is a poor man's life.
Yeah, you're like, you're in Munich ripping it up at this sick bar restaurant. You're like, oh, I mean, I'm going back to Harvard. Can't even go to the Hong Kong. So, do we have any All Right Hamiltons over there?
We do.
All right, Ryan, before we get to All Right Hamilton, All Right Hamilton is brought to you by HelixSleep.com. Hey, you're unique. You don't walk like everybody else, talk like everyone else, or sleep like everyone else. So why is a mattress a one-size-fits-all? Because a truly customized mattress will cost $5,000 to $10,000. Until now, go to helixsleep.com, answer a few simple questions, and they'll run a 3D biomechanical model of your body through the proprietary algorithms they developed with the help of the world's leading ergonomics and biomechanics experts. The result? The most comfortable mattress you've ever slept on. Helix customers report a 30% improvement in overall sleep quality. And for couples, they customize each side of the mattress. And guys, if you know you got a lady friend or a guy friend on the other side, always stealing your covers, you know, it's good to have at least your comfort while you're laying there. So your mattress arrives at your door in about a week, and shipping is completely free. That's why everyone from GQ Magazine to Forbes are all talking about Helix Sleep. You have 100 nights to try it out, and if you don't love it, they'll pick it up for free and give you a full refund. No questions asked. You can't beat it. So go to helixsleep.com/chicklets and get $50 off your order right now. Again, that's helixsleep.com/chicklets for $50 off. Again, helixsleep.com/chicklets, and that's helixsleep.com/chicklets, and chicklets is chicklets. Get yourself a good night's sleep with Helix Sleep.
Know about our segment, All Right, Hamilton?
Yeah, I've listened to the podcast before.
That's what it's a secret way of finding out if people listen or not. Like, oh, I listen.
There's
like,
no way you know the move.
Is it Fast Times?
Fast Times is very fun. Huh? It was on TV the other night.
It's been very heavy.
The last 30 minutes, I was dying.
Very heavy in the HBO rotation. One of the greatest like boob scenes ever in an 80s film. Gotta acknowledge it.
All right, so Mike Hicks wants to know which NHL player has the sickest house.
Jesus.
Fuck, that's a good one, man.
I know.
Horkoff has a sick house in Michigan. Real sick house. Keith Yandel's got a nice crib around here. I don't even have a house. I don't know. Who's yours?
You? I mean, I haven't seen that many. Hank has a sick condo or apartment, I guess, in the city.
Oh, that's got to be nice.
Penthouse.
Yeah, see, because in the city.
Elevator right to his unit?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Two floors, but this year when we went to Buffalo, Dan Girardi had a bus for everyone to go over the border into Canada. He lives right near Niagara Falls in a sick house
on a lake.
Yeah, it's right on the lake or the river. I don't know, but you know, money obviously goes farther there.
Oh shit!
But he's got a sick crib.
Who's yours, Grinnelli?
You know, I've hung out with so many players, gone to so many of their houses. I don't know. It's tough to choose. So James Lang asks, who had the smelliest gear out of everyone you played with?
Wow. It all kind of stinks.
A Russian?
Oh.
I actually don't.
There's always that one guy on the team.
In the NHL, nobody's gear stinks.
Oh, yeah.
It's Grinnelli, it's cleaned and
see,
washed.
I don't know these things.
But international tournaments, like as old as like the World Juniors, I remember like everyone's got the locker room for the entire tournament. Like Russians, the locker rooms were so smelly. It was crazy. You could smell them on the ice. But
are they one of those no deodorant countries?
I don't know, dude. It was, you know, there was deodorant when I was over there playing, but it was like weird stickum, dude. It's probably like PEDs in the deodorant. I just remember that those locker rooms stunk.
Oh, that's a weird question.
That's a weird question.
Yeah, I didn't notice anyone too bad this year.
It's like, we all wash our gear.
Guess it's a little different than the men's league.
Yeah, a little different than putting it in your basement after your Thursday night league game.
All right, so Greg, I can't really read his last name, wants to know, what's the wildest thing you've done the night before a game, and how'd that game go the next day?
I think I told this story once.
You did.
Yeah. But that was when I was really, really hungover for a game. That was unfortunate, but I'm assuming you haven't done anything. Were you soft this year?
No, I wasn't soft, but, I don't know. It was my first year. So I was definitely
college cons too. You guys can go back to college.
Cognizant of
college. Things. I didn't do shit. Jack Parker scared the shit out of me.
This is one thing I think is way different about pro than college. In college, like Tuesday for Friday, Saturday games, Tuesday was like the absolute last night anyone ever thought about having a beer. Whereas pro, it's like
exactly.
Go out to dinner on the road, like wine.
Yeah, exactly. Like I remember BU wasn't even like we got to go out after the Saturday night game and nobody even like really thought of drinking till the next
Saturday.
Yeah, and I'm like, and then I turned pro. I'm like, wait a minute, what? You could have been drinking like Wednesday night, not like heavy, but like hung out and had a couple, and then had a game Friday at least, let alone the night before. I think some colleges were different though. I think like Michigan and stuff used to get after it more. BU, we were petrified.
I think not just the booze, too. I think if you got, like, company for the night, that can really drain a man, too. Like Mickey, you know.
The legs.
Women weak and legs, man. I tell you, man.
True.
Got a handy before a hoop game in high school. Worst game ever, dude.
You went 0-for-11.
Yeah. Well, I was standard anyways, but.
All right. So Curtis McDonald wants to know, who are the best and worst golfers in the NHL, past and current players?
All right, Hamilton.
VZ might be one of the worst. He's got one round under his belt. But the best players is Ray Whitney, I think. Ray Whitney was the wizard, man. Unreal at hockey. Everyone knows that. He had over 1,000 points, but he's just this. He's probably like a plus two golfer. He's nasty.
Wasn't he like one of the funniest guys in the league?
He's hilarious. Hilarious. Like, I remember he came up to me, like Ray Whitney, Ryan Whitney. Like, it was weird. Like, when I came into the NHL and he just lines up next to me, and he's like, "What up, cuz?" I'd never even met him. I was like, "This guy's hilarious." So he's nasty, but VZ's just picking up the sport.
Yeah, it might be the worst, but...
Are you a lefty?
Yeah, lefty.
So him and Kevin Hayes, just two monster lefties, making divots to China, all on tracks across Massachusetts. So
I'm a lefty as well.
It's funny. When I played, I shot golf righty, but I shoot a hockey stick lefty.
I do the same thing. When I pitched in baseball, I pitched lefty, and then when I throw a football, I throw it righty. So
that's,
I'm all
that's
fucked
weird.
Up.
That's real weird.
I don't speak Mandarin.
Best golfer, I mean, I know Rick Nash loves to golf on our team, but this year when we were in Phoenix, we went to the driving range, and I haven't seen a lot of people golf, but JT Miller was absolutely unloading on the ball.
Really?
Like driving it a mile.
But he's too busy hunting.
True. I don't know how he splits his time.
Well, dude, we really appreciate you coming in, man. It's it was exciting watching you this year. I think that there's only really, really good things to come with you and the Rangers, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, we got a note actually for our buddy Mike Rappaport, actor/podcast extraordinaire. He wanted to let everyone know if you're in the Dallas area.
That's the guy everyone says I look like.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, they definitely
everyone calls me Remy from Higher Learning.
That's hilarious. Yeah, he wants us to tell you, if you're in the Dallas area and love to laugh, this Saturday night, go see, if you're part of the Barstool family, if you're a stoolie, it's the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. They're going to be taping it this Saturday night, July 29th, at the Texas Theater in Dallas. Special guests, Kenyon Martin, Steven Jackson, Gary Payton, Rashad Lewis, Scal, a.k.a. Brian Scalabrini, Deshaun Stevenson, and more. Let's go to IamRappaportTour.com. You can find it, go to Mike's Twitter, find his Twitter page. Again, it's www.IamRappaport.com. This Saturday night, if you're in Dallas, go check it out for our boy Rap. Jimmy,
Remy,
thanks again for coming in. Appreciate it immensely. What else you got going on this summer other than working out, just kind of bumming around?
Yeah, I'm not doing much. Going to try to pick up my golf game.
He's going to go buy a set of clubs from here, dude.
One last story that we didn't get to.
Oh, absolutely.
We talked about this before the show, but I listened to the podcast. You guys always talk about, you know, being waffled. But when I was younger, me, my dad, and my brother actually went to Keith Yandel's draft party at his house in Milton. And Witt was there. And I distinctly remember it because he had like a cowboy hat on. Probably absolutely smashed.
We were smashed.
And I just bought a Pittsburgh Penguins hat, and I had him sign it. So.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Should have brought it. Could have returned the favor today.
I was like, come here, buddy. Come here. I'll sign that hat. You want an autograph? No problem.
You asked him to sign it.
Funny. A little bit of full circle in here.
Exactly.
Today, huh?
Exactly.
All right, well, thanks again, Jim. Really appreciate it.
You're the man, buddy.
And hopefully we'll do it again, and good luck this year with the regs.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
We got it together, didn't we? We've definitely got our thing together, don't we, baby? Isn't that nice? I mean, really, when you really sit and think about it, isn't it really, really nice? I can easily feel myself slipping more and more away.
You heard Spike's Car Radio? It's comedian, actor, writer Spike Ferriston sitting on the porch in Malibu talking with some cool people about cool cars and life in general.
My first guest is Jerry Seinfeld. He's right here. He was all right.
Don't try to hug him.
Chris Hardwick.
I could feel everything on the road. I mean, it was right. Basically like, it was like unprotected sex for driving.
Jeremy Piven.
You know what? I think you and Jerry are spiritually tied to cars, and I respect it and I love it, but I don't quite get it yet, but I want to get it.
Download new episodes of Spike's Car Radio every Wednesday on the Podcast One app, or save time and subscribe now at Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.